VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Crosstalk on VCY America. Well, today we have a little different topic to deal with. I don't know that it's a topic that we've ever dealt with on this program before. The book of Hebrews provides us with instructions in chapter 12, verse 1. It says that we should lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You see, we're to lay aside the sins that easily beset us. And then just several verses later in verse 15 comes the warning, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Yes, bitterness is impacting many a life. Bitterness is something that has torn relationships and marriages and families and even in churches. Perhaps there's a matter that that you've been dealing with in this regard. Maybe you've been bitter against someone or something, or perhaps you're dealing with this in your family, or perhaps within your church. We trust you'll be listening today as we deal with this topic of bitterness. We'll be looking at the source of bitterness, its symptoms, and a solution to bitterness. And we do invite you to welcome back with us here today Dr. Les Olala, the founder and director of Building Great Leaders. It's a ministry that provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. He's a former pastor, a staff evangelist, former president of what was known as Northland Baptist Bible College. He's a member of our board of directors here at VCY America. And Dr. Olala, good to have you back.
Oh, it's good to be back, Jim. Always a blessing to be here to see what God is doing here.
We are going to talk about bitterness today, and I think it would be important for us, first of all, to define what bitterness is. So how would you define it?
Well, I have a crystallized definition called a fretted, and that the word that pikros is the Greek word, but it's really a fretted and irritated state of mind that keeps a person in perpetual animosity.
Hmm.
And then I have three different manifestations, but it is a well-developed dissatisfaction that robs our soul of contentment. Many times discontentment is really bitterness, but it's not always that way. We saw that in Hannah. See, she was discontent, but she prayed out of the bitterness of her soul. And here was a godly woman, and she had one who was irritating her, and it turned her direction to a very negative point of view that she had. And God did that working. So when I wanted to double check on that Greek word on that, and it's dealing with, it's like a picking. And some people who have a bitterness do not acknowledge that bitterness is really there. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think when I look at bitterness, I see two different kinds, at least. One is relational bitterness that we see in Shimei. The best case study to me in relational bitterness was Shimei in his attack against David. And then we today are going to be considering Naomi, a circumstantial bitterness. And some bitterness is directly related to an attitude about a person. And then some is our attitude against God about a circumstance that he doesn't seem to be solving for me.
The last time you were on this program, we dealt with the topic of anger and dealing with anger. Is there any connection between anger and bitterness?
Well, I think so. When you look at Ephesians chapter 4, it says, put away from you bitterness, wrath, anger, in that order. So there has to be a connection there. And we're quenching the Spirit, and we are grieving the Spirit. And one of the commandments, God says, put away from you bitterness first, wrath, anger, evil communications. And it seems to be a progression that is one of the seething things. I heard one man define bitterness as drinking poison and hoping somebody else dies.
Wow.
And if I harbor that in my heart, It's a perpetual grieving and quenching of the spirit. I lose the blessing. That's why I say it's a fretted and irritated state of mind that keeps a person in perpetual animosity. Some people cannot rejoice. They cannot be happy. They go to church. They try to sing with joy, but their heart is heavy. And oftentimes it is tracked down to the fact that there is a seething bitterness underneath that is there. And I think the example that we have that we will consider today, we all can relate to this in some way, because this is always going to be crossing our path when things are not going the way we think they ought to.
Matter of fact, you call it anger fully developed as far as what bitterness is.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's an anger that's seething, and then it's a fully developed anger. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon it comes out in an explosive way. And it's discontent that is fully established. In other words, I establish a point of discontentment in my heart. I actually think that's what happened with Saul in part, because he developed a discontentment because he did not follow God's command, which leads to that third part of our definition. It is determined disobedience. I've made up my mind, no, I won't obey God. I will not submit to what God's will is, because I don't think he is treating this situation the way he ought to.
Dr. O'Lilly, you travel the country, you're in a number of churches month after month, you're holding conferences, you meet with pastors, you observe what's going on. How prevalent is this issue of bitterness? How severe is the problem in the home or the church?
I think it's prominent both in the home and in the church. It's not as visible in the church, except you can sense that there is something wrong in the spirit of a service. Instead of a freedom, there is kind of a pall over that atmosphere in that service. You normally don't see it until the annual business meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you find out someone has been really stewing about something.
Yeah.
And then they go from the bitterness that shows itself in wrath and then in anger. And all of a sudden you say, boy, I didn't see that in him or in her before. But in that annual business meeting, that which has been boiling has been there. And many of the pastors with whom you fellowship and you go out to lunch, and their hearts are heavy and thinking, maybe I'm done at this church. And there is someone there who just is a perpetual thorn in the side. And it's getting to a point where it's beginning to nag and gnaw. It's almost like with Hannah, with the other wife, mm-hmm. who just was nagging and aggravating her about the fact that she did not have any children.
Again, we go back to that word you used, that seething, that boiling, that perpetualness that happens with us. But when we look under the sink and we see water in the cupboard, we say, uh-oh, and we seek to take care of this problem. We don't just wipe up the water and close the doors and go on our way. No, we instead have to find the source of that leak and deal with it. And you point out, when it comes to bitterness, that we have to find its source. What can you tell us about the source of bitterness?
Well, I think when we look in Ruth chapter 1, and in fact, we're going to be dealing in Ruth chapter 1 with Naomi in this context. If you're at home and you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to get that out and look and follow us through with that. And it came to pass in the days when judges ruled, and this was a very bad time with God's people, and there was famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion. And so here we see they were in a perfect scenario. They were in plenty, they were in abundance, they were in Bethlehem, the house of bread. And yet all of a sudden, when judges ruled, every man doing that which was right in his own eyes, famine came as a result, which I believe was a result of God's judgment that came on that. And we see dissatisfaction came in. Suddenly something happened that we become dissatisfied. And when dissatisfaction comes in, and for some it could be marital dissatisfaction. I know some of the bitterness that we deal with in meetings And some of the ones that I meet in churches, you counsel, and they come to the conclusion, I married the wrong person. Hmm. Or I've lost my love for my mate. And really, when they say that, they have stopped attempting to give themselves to the one to whom they've committed to marry. And a discontentment could be marital. It could be occupational. Many people get up, go to work, very, very discontent with the occupation. Why did I end up in this? Why did God not protect me from going into this field of work or into that area? Why could I not have a better income? Why could I not have that? Some, it's physical. Some very discontent with how God created them. For 42 years, we did a leadership camp, and part of the interview I would ask in the teen leadership, in the one-on-one interview, I would ask, is there anything about yourself that you don't like? And I remember one girl told me, she said, my nose is too big. I said, if it's sucking air, what's the difference? God gave you a nose to breathe air, not for appearance. But little, tiny little things like that. Mm-hmm. Why could I not have been athletic? Why could I not have been so-and-so? It could be physical. Why could I not have been taller? Why could I, and so on and so on. And then some is personal. See themselves as weak failures. That I'm nothing. I'm going nowhere with my life. And I go to church and I look at so-and-so and I look at these people with that income and driving that car. And we have the perception that everyone has an ideal scenario. And yet personally, I feel I'm a failure. And you could go on and on with those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But these are the most typical kind of things, some with marriage and some with work and some with their bodies, some with how they feel personally about themselves.
So when we boil all this down together, that first air source could be that of dissatisfaction. There's another source as well for bitterness.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the departure that took place here, and it says, and they left and went to sojourn in Moab. So, okay, I'm dissatisfied here. I am going to now make a departure. I'm not going to trust God in this circumstance. I'm going to move on to something else. And as I look at that other thing, they moved to Moab. And that was, 60 to 75 miles. And you had to descend some almost 4,000 feet. You had to ascend again almost 5,000 feet in that. So it was not like I'm going to take a little afternoon stroll. I mean, this was a major undertaking to go from where they were in Bethlehem to Moab. And they take a departure and they leave the house of bread. They leave the place of God and they move into what they think will be a better scenario. And they find out that this really didn't turn out well.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk. Dr. Leslie Olala is our guest here today. The topic is dealing with bitterness, and right now looking at some of the sources of bitterness. We'll also be delving into some of the symptoms, and then also we'll be taking a look at solution to bitterness. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how long have spiders been around?
Chris, spiders have been around evidently since creation, and even now evolutionists are admitting they've been around for a long, long time. Recently, a very well-preserved fossil spider was found in rock, dated by evolutionists to be about 300 million years old. Yet it was identical to a modern-day spider, complete with eight legs and even the intricate web-spinning features of modern spiders. The point is, Chris, there's no such thing as a simple organism. They're all complex, right from creation, with all of the abilities that we now attribute to them. Spiders may have had a different lifestyle back before the curse, but there is no such thing as simple to complex evolution, even among spiders. They were created, just like it says, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Les Olala is our guest today. He's founder and director of Building Great Leaders. And the website is bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org, to learn more about his ministry. But today we're talking on the topic of dealing with bitterness. And we are, first of all, taking a look at the source of bitterness. And we've covered a couple points there of dissatisfaction and coming from a variety of means. We talked about departure and not trusting God, trusting my plans more than what God's promises are. Dr. Olazer, you've got a third aspect as far as a consideration for a solution, or rather a source for bitterness as well.
Well, we saw disaster come when they took life in their own hands. It says in verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. So they moved to Moab. They're leaving what would be famine in their minds, moving to an ideal scenario, and Elimelech dies. The husband dies. Hmm. Now she has her two sons with her. And then they took them wives of Moab, and both of the boys married wives who were Moabites. And then they both died. So now here's Naomi, her husband's dead. Both of her boys are dead. Mahlon and Chilion are dead. And now what does she do? She has two daughters-in-law. She feels responsible for them. And yet she looks at the disaster that came, that she finds herself in. And I think we can move on into, now what do we see in Naomi? And we get really into the heart of this topic of bitterness with her, because we see the symptoms that began to manifest themselves. And I think we can identify with many of these in our own lives as we go along sometimes in life.
Tell us about some of those symptoms.
Well, first of all, symptom number one, she looked ahead and it looked hopeless. A lot of people wake up in the morning and they're thinking, what am I here for? What do I have to look forward to? They don't look out and see a bright future. They see darkness. And look in verse 11, in chapter 1 and verse 7, and she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters with her, and went to return to the land of Judah. She thought, well, I'm going back to where I was. Now, she had been gone for 10 years. This was a 10-year period of time. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go and return to your mother's house. Go back to where you came from. And may the Lord deal kindly with you as you have with me and with my sons. And the Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. She kissed him and lifted her voice and wept. And they said, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? In other words, she is now beginning to manifest the dark future that she has. Why would you want to be with me? Especially looking at how God has dealt with me. Are there any more sons in my womb that would be your husbands? In other words, are you going to wait long enough for me to remarry and have children that you can marry them? Go back to your home. Go back to your families. And interestingly enough, we'll find out later, even go back to your gods. And I'm too old, she said. Turn back. I'm too old. Would you tarry till they were grown if I had kids? And then look what she says in verse 13. For the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Now we begin to see the future was hopeless to her. Now friends are being pushed away. Here these daughters-in-law bonded with her. And she says, no, you go. She was pushing them away. In some way, she was concerned for their future. But in other ways, she was saying, God has abandoned me. Don't go where I'm going. You go back to where you can find peace in that. And in verse 12, she pushes them away. And then we see that there was a flagrant blaming of God. She said, God has dealt bitterly with me. In fact, there were five different unfair charges that she made against God here. Now, here was a godly woman from the house of bread, from an ideal scenario, a wonderful husband, two wonderful children. Now they had daughters-in-laws. Now what happened? The boys died. The husband's dead. I'm in a mess. There's no future for me. And now she starts turning the guns on God. And look, verse 19. And they went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was about them, said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said, "Call me not Naomi." Verse 20, "Call me Mara, for the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. The Almighty has dealt bitterly with me." So now the hand of God is against me. Now the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. And then she said, "I went out full, and the Lord brought me home empty again. Why would you go with me, seeing the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" Mm-hmm. Five unfair charges against God. It wasn't God who told them to leave. But you know what? Sometimes we get dissatisfied. We depart from what God has for us. We end up in disaster, and then we blame God for the disaster, that now God's hand is against me. He has abandoned me. He's dealt bitterly with me. And so she is telling them, "No, you go back." Ruth had really gotten a hold of the truth that Naomi was trying to communicate about her God. I mean, Ruth got a handle on who Jehovah was. She got a handle on the God of Israel. Orpah did not. Orpah went back. But Naomi was advising them very, very poorly. And so not only a flawed view of the past and the future, she had a flawed testimony. Hmm. Verse 15 and 14 and 15. Read that in verse 14 and 15. "And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said," listen to her counsel here. You talk about a flawed testimony to these girls. "You go back to your gods." Now remember, they came out of Moab. She would say, "Go back to Chemosh. Obviously, my God is not dealing with me the way I ought to. You go back to your family and go back to your gods." I think she had a flawed testimony. Mm. You know, interesting that David made a statement, "God, guard my lips while the wicked are present with me." And I think what David was praying, because I think David was going through some real deep waters himself, and I think he had some of the thinking within of, "God, what are you doing?" But David prayed, said, "God, you guard my mouth. When the wicked are around me, that they would never hear one word from my mouth that would question your goodness to me." And I think David was very afraid that he might say something that the wicked could get a handle on. But yet Naomi's giving counsel that way.
So we're looking at some of the symptoms of bitterness. You talked about the future was seen as hopeless, of friends pushed away, flagrant blaming, a flawed testimony. There's more to come.
Yeah, and then her fallen countenance. She goes back. Now keep in mind, she'd only been gone 10 years and came back to the city. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" In other words, I read several commentaries on this, and the implication is here that there had been such a physical effect on her circumstance that it changed her countenance. Hmm. And boy, the Bible has a lot to say about your countenance. When God asked Cain, "Why is your countenance fallen?" It says in Proverbs that a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. I can sharpen the countenance of a friend, according to Proverbs. Mm-hmm. But when she came back, her countenance must have been fallen, where it made her appear to be a totally different person. And you can notice a person who is under a lot of bitterness, and they have a heaviness that is often manifested in their countenance. Yeah. They cannot have a joy. There's not a release in their spirit. And it's interesting that comment was made is this Naomi?
Yeah, yeah. And the fallen countenance, the next point you have is a false view of the past.
Yeah, she comes back, and look what it says in verse 21. What does she say? Read that, verse 21.
I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, saying the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?
Now, she said, I went out full. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the reason they left was because there was famine.
Mm-hmm.
I think they left empty. Now, when we get bitter, we look back, and we think, boy, did we have it good then. And we even make statements like, you know, the world treats me better than God does.
Mm.
The world treats me better than Christians do. And we look back at the time, many even go back before they were saved, and say, I had a lot less pressure before I ever became a believer. And as though we were supposed to be on a cruise after we got saved.
Yeah.
And when we look at that, we look back at the past, and we don't remember everything. And she makes a statement of that I went out full, God brought me back empty.
Okay, let's. You've got one more point under this here before we get the next break in.
Failure to see present blessings. They came back to the house of bread, and it was harvest time. And verse 22 said, Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Here they were encircled with blessings and plenty, and yet she could not see what was surrounding her at that time. And obviously, I honestly believe when a person gets bitter, they cannot list the blessings that God has piled upon them.
Yeah.
Because their mind is not free to do so. And
it's like they're consumed.
They're consumed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not able to look at the blessings that are around them. I love that song, Count Your Many Blessings.
Oh, yes.
Name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord has done.
Amen.
And I think these symptoms are very typical, not just in Naomi, but I think they're typical in believers who hit the wall sometimes. And I believe that that we don't see everything that we have that God has provided for us.
Dr. Les Olala is our guest here today on Crosstalk, and we were just seconds away from the break, and we don't want to leave you in this state. We want to come back and talk about some solutions to bitterness as well before we open phone lines today, and also we'll tell you how you can obtain a two-part DVD on this very topic of bitterness that Dr. Olala has taught through on this very topic, and how this can be something that you utilize not only to review yourself, but to share in a small group setting or Sunday school class or within your church or just within your family as this issue of bitterness is confronted. We'll be back in just 1 minute here. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
If you're like most individuals, you look forward to your vacation. Many will take great effort to consider a destination the family will enjoy, what to do, where to stay, and what highways to take to get there. Sadly, most people spend more time planning their one-week vacation than they do preparing for eternity. The Bible says our life is but a vapor. None of us has the promise of tomorrow, and our eternal destiny is sealed at death. Wouldn't it be wise to investigate these things? That's the purpose of the book, Preparing for Eternity. In this book, author Mike Gendron contrasts the truth of God's Word with the teachings and traditions he was taught for over 30 years in the Roman Catholic Church. He found that eternal life is not merited by good works, but is given freely by God's grace to those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their all-sufficient Savior. The book, Preparing for Eternity, is available for a donation of $17 or more to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. Yeah, a little different topic today, but one that really gets to the root of what many are dealing with. It's a topic of bitterness. Dr. Les Olala is our guest. He is founder and director of Building Great Leaders. Again, the website bgleaders.org does go and minister to churches and conferences across the nation. We were dealing with this topic of bitterness, and we started out talking today about the sources of bitterness, and then just looked at many of the symptoms. The future seen as hopeless, friends pushed away, flagrant blaming, a flawed testimony, a fallen countenance, the false view of the past, and the failure to see present blessings. Have you been there, friends? Well, you don't have to stay there, and that's the point of that we'd like to get to next, Dr. Olala, and that is the solution to this. Is there a solution to bitterness?
Yeah, and I think the sad thing is that many of us do not want to get to the I am level in our lives. We want to stay. If we come into the lobby of the church, how are you today? Oh, fine. But yet our hearts are breaking many times. And we don't want to say, to be honest, I really need your prayer because I'm struggling in my soul about something. And if we could just get that atmosphere in our churches, that a church is a place where people should be able to hurt out loud and not be rejected. And somebody could just take you and say, hey, let's go up, let's commit this to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I think when we see how God worked all of this out and the blessing that came, well, I mean, you talk about amazing grace that we see in this picture and what we're going into right now. How do we see God's amazing grace at work?
Yeah.
And we look at what happened when they got back. Now, Naomi was dark in her future look. She was now having a very hard time, even with Ruth coming back with her. But Ruth was such a blessing, lifted her hands, lifted her heart. Ruth was such a virtuous, godly girl. And yet she helped to bring Naomi back to right thinking in this area. So what happens? They get back. Look in chapter 2 and verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Now we see an interesting picture beginning to happen here. What's the solution to bitterness? A, return to God's place. That's what Naomi did. She went back to where God's hand was on them. She went back to the place where she was full and not only had her family, but had the fullness of God's blessing. Now, when she comes back, she went to God's place, and that's step number one. We have to acknowledge, where am I? I'm in Moab. I'm in darkness. Nothing looks bright. Go back to God's place. Where did I leave the path of joy? Where did I leave the way of blessing? Where did I leave the path of rejoicing that I had to get to this somber state that I am in right now? Go back to the house of bread. And then number two, recognize a person who came into the life. Boaz came into the life. Ruth comes back. Ruth saying, okay, we're going to get some food. I'm going to go out in the field and harvest. And they had to leave corners for strangers. They could not harvest everything. They had to leave corners. And Ruth would go out, and she would come back with these baskets of food for them. And Naomi would say, where did you get that? Well, here's a fellow named Boaz who owns the field and sees this gal who must have been quite a looker, and asked the young men who was working, he said, who is that girl? And they said, oh, she came back with Naomi from Moab, and an interesting thing begins to develop. Now, keep in mind, who was a Moabite? Where did the Moabites come from? You remember Lot, when he had the incestuous relationship with his daughters in a cave? One was Moab, one was Ammon. Yeah. Moabites and the Ammonites. Two nations that grew up to hate God, but out of that country of Moab, God picks a heart of a girl named Ruth to the influence of a Naomi who had gone into a very negative state, brought her back to the house of bread, and by God's sovereign control, brought her into the path of Boaz. Now, they both ended up in the line of the Messiah. Now, who was Boaz? Who was Boaz's mom? It was Rahab the harlot. So you read Matthew chapter 1, you see that line. Here's Boaz, the son of Rahab the harlot, comes now as a wealthy person, meets Ruth, a Moabitess. And you see God's amazing grace bringing this thing together. So you recognize the person, the kinsman redeemer that came into the picture. And I've always in counsel said failures are never final as long as God's grace is operating. And when you see what came out of this, and you see how Ruth ended up, and I believe Proverbs 31 is talking about Ruth, because it was Solomon who was writing this about this virtuous woman. Solomon's father was David. David's father was Jesse. And you trace Jesse back to Obed, and then you see the great-great-grandmother of David here. And I think Solomon is writing about Ruth. Wow. That's what I believe Proverbs 31 is. And in fact, chapter 3, Boaz says, everybody knows, Ruth, that you are a virtuous woman. Now, he said that he was an older man. He thought you could have had any one of these young men. I'm sure they were after trying to get her to get an honor series with them or whatever they were inviting to do. Sure. But he says, you know, you're virtuous. Everybody in town knows you're virtuous. And yet you see the amazing grace of God and the eternal reaping that comes in here. Solution to bitterness. Return to God's place. Recognize the person. And for us, our kinsman redeemer is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And how can we mourn and grieve when we are his children, the children of God? And when we recognize the person who was our kinsman redeemer, that should make us shout. That should make us say, praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Amen. Dr. Lasolala is our guest here today on Crosstalk. And matter of fact, he has prepared on DVD the 2 half-hour messages on this topic of bitterness. And we have this available through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $12 or more. That includes shipping to you. It's a 2-part DVD on the topic of bitterness. If you'd like to obtain it, it's available simply by calling our switchboard at 1-800-729-9829. Just ask for the DVD on bitterness. Again, a donation of $12 or more by calling 1-800-729-9829. If you'd like to call in and ask a question on this topic of bitterness today, our phone line is open at 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Perhaps you're in a situation of bitterness right now, or have a loved one, a family member struggling through this and looking for some biblical guidance. Again, our number 800-733-9829 to call in on the topic. You know, some time ago I heard a message from a Brian Trainer, who's now at the staff at Lakewood Baptist Church in Pewaukee, Wisconsin, and in his message on Hebrews 12:15, talking about that root of bitterness, he spoke about that root of bitterness, you know, taking root and many being defiled, but talking about bitterness not only being a core problem, but a very contagious problem as well, that bitterness will have a contagious effect on others, that roots are going to start small but grow large, that they're primarily unseen roots are, but they lie under the surface, that seething that you talked about, that root system that grows very deep and wide, and that's that root that feeds the tree, and that is what bitterness does to an individual. It's going to feed, it's going to impact that countenance and every aspect of our lives, and it's contagious that it impacts other people.
Yeah, you see that in Deuteronomy 29:18, which is a reference to in Hebrews there, and that's what that is. It's a root that spreads to the entire tree, and whereby many are defiled.
Yes.
And you see a church atmosphere, you get a bitter person in there, and the entire atmosphere is affected by that. A person is not satisfied just to be bitter and angry by himself. There is going to be that spreading of that mentality, and it's hard to hide. It spews.
Yeah. Well, friends, if you have a question on this topic of bitterness, perhaps a comment, our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. We're going to Salina, Kansas, and Steve is calling. Hi, Steve, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Fine, thank you.
Hey, you know what? You guys are describing me to the T in my past. I mean, God knows my heart, and He knows what I said, and He disciplined me very, very hard. He took things away from me for a whole year, and I'm not lying to you. I actually said, God, do you hate me? I mean, He knows my heart. Mm-hmm. But you know what? When you go through that and you realize when you come out of it, I'm better off now than I was then. And, you know, you either get bitter or you get better, because it was a besetting sin for me. And, you know, I'm thankful that He did it to me now.
Yeah.
That's an excellent point. And actually, when you look at the life of Naomi, that's what she ended up with. When she began to realize that she now counseled Ruth to get her in the right place to be in the life of Boaz, way better off. I mean, now an eternal benefit from that deep hurt that came. Thank you for calling. That's an excellent point.
You have to admit it to yourself first, and then you have to just ask God to forgive you. And you know what? Forgiveness came out of that. So there was a multitude of things came out of that were good. But at the time, I didn't. You know, I just thought God hated me, but He never did. It was my own bitterness that was doing that.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate the call.
And that's getting to that I am level, and that's hard.
Hmm. Thanks for the call here. We're going next to Brookfield, Wisconsin. Jim, you're on the air.
Hi. Once you realize that you have that bitterness spirit in you, or it's shown to you, what do you do to stop how do you go about trying to stop it? How do you try to go about changing it? What are you asking God for? What are you trying to see a different way of outlook of life?
Dr. Olila?
Yeah, I think that number one, you have to get a proper picture of the true nature and character of God. Most abiding problems are a result of a flawed view of who God is. That is, we hesitate to go to Him because we think that if He is mad at us, He is not going to listen to me. Start with a view of God that is a proper view of God as perfect love and perfect forgiveness, and then you go with a thankful heart that you begin to rejoice at the blessings that are given to you by God. And then look at what is causing this discontent within me. If it's a person, if it's a circumstance, understand that God is in control of all of that. And I have often counseled people in that to look for someone else who has a greater need than you do. And you don't make it about yourself. You make it about that other person with a greater need, and you become a channel of God's blessing to them.
Going and serving others.
Yes.
Thank you. We're up against a break. Thank you for the call. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. G. Brock Chisholm, in the 1940s, helped to found the World Federation of Mental Health. What was their goal? In part, to set up traditional values as being the sign of mental illness. In fact, Mr. Chisholm declared, quote, "The people who have been taught to believe whatever they were told by their parents or their teachers are the people who are the menace to the world," end quote. So if you believe in right and wrong, you're mentally ill. He stated this, in fact, in a previous comment. Quote, "If the race is to be free from the crippling burden of good and evil, it must be psychiatrists who take the original responsibility," end quote. He also laid out, if you believed in the free market system and private property, and you defended your private property, that was a sign of someone who was neurotic, mentally ill. Sound familiar?
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America and dealing with the issue of bitterness today here on the broadcast. Dr. Les Olala is our guest, leads a ministry called Building Great Leaders, the website bgleaders.org. If you have a question on this topic, bitterness today, our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Perhaps you just like more teaching on this issue, and Dr. Olala has taught. He has two half-hour messages that are on a single DVD, two half-hour presentations on the topic of bitterness. It's available for a donation of just $12 or more. That includes your shipping and everything. It's available simply by calling our switchboard at 1-800-729-9829 and ask for the DVD on bitterness. That's 1-800-729-9829. Going back to the phone lines, we have Eva calling in from Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Eva, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to express my gratitude for your station, number one. But I also want to let you guys know that up until very recently, well, probably within the last couple of years, I was in a boat of bitterness, and I was floating around in the river trying to figure out what the heck was going on. All kinds of things were coming against me. And then I started to read and study God's Word, the Bible. And I can tell you for a fact that it has completely changed my life.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, my Redeemer, the author and finisher of my faith. God has everything in control, and I know that He does. And I recently come to that conclusion, and I have been so blessed. Even though it looks from the outside like I have nothing, I have everything. And so I just wanted to let people know that once you start reading and studying the Bible and getting to know who God is and take upon yourself the fact that Jesus Christ went to the cross for your sins, has paid for your sins, you don't have to worry about it anymore, it's all taken care of, that everything is going to start to change for people. And so I just wanted to let you know.
Amen. Eva, thank you so much. And Dr. Olala, she just encapsulated your solutions to return to God's place.
Yes.
She went in back into God's Word, started reading it, and recognized a person, and that is the for her focus on Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and that is the joy. You know, sometimes there are two sources of bitterness. One is something I lost and I want back, or something I want and I can't have. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, especially in the younger years, and you until you come to settle that all I have is Christ. We are rich if we have what money cannot buy and death cannot take away. And her testimony is exactly what we need in that regard.
Our next caller is Beth calling in from West Dallas. Hi, Beth, you're on the air.
Yes, I just have a comment. You know, what the pastor said, I mean, is obviously it's all true and it's all good. And when you need to have a source for where you need to direct your life, the Bible is, of course, the Word of God, and that we need to focus on that. However, the one thing that I find is that everybody has strengths and weaknesses, and everybody, as saints, we still struggle. And I think sometimes people get into a position in their frame of mind where they have a feeling of being alone, and that they don't want to go maybe to someone to talk about it because they don't want a burden or whatever. I just think there's a position in the church, whether it be in the building of the church or whether it be in your community, in your neighborhood, of those who are saints reaching out to others. But I think we need to actually, you know, try to direct people to center themselves to the Bible, but sometimes they need that help to get there. And I think we're lacking sometimes when we go in our daily lives of doing this and doing that, and we're bombarded by the world, and it's hard. And we kind of sometimes these people that are maybe not as strong, or maybe not, and they need help to get there, then we're not focusing on some of these people that are kind of drifting away. And I think we need to sometimes focus on bringing them closer to us to help support them to get to that point of getting back into the Word.
Beth, thank you so much for your call.
We need three people in our lives. One is a Paul, who is a pattern to us. One is a pal, who is a Titus or a Barnabas, with whom we can laugh and pray and share our deepest burden. Then we need a Timothy as a project. And if every believer would be aware of taking someone and nurturing him to another step. That's exactly what this lady is saying. We need to take one another and build him to another point.
2 Timothy 2:2.
Yeah.
Thank you, Beth. Linda is next in Dundee, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes. I would like to know how, when you see bitterness in someone, how in a manner that's not judgmental, would you, how can you share with them that? Have they ever considered that? Or I just see it so evident, and it doesn't seem to lessen.
Okay. So we see the fruit of bitterness in somebody. How do we approach it?
Well, it's never approached by accusation. It's always by question. Say, is there something I can pray with you about? Is there something that is a burden that you have a hard time sharing? But you don't go and say, I sense bitterness in you, because a wall will go up instantly. But I think as God used the pattern of question to stir a conscience where an accusation hardens the will, it has to be approached in a very tender way. But first of all, ask for God's timing, for God's wording, and for a right spirit with a right questions that are there.
Thank you, Linda. And anonymous caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Hi. I've got a situation. 14 years ago, I got a divorce. And I'm having such a really hard time getting over this because my ex-husband, I wouldn't call it that he cheated on me, but, well...
I tell you what, I'm going to interrupt only because we have 40 seconds left in the program, and this may be something you wish to follow up with Dr. Olila more directly, but if you can respond to dealing with this past hurt as well.
Yes, I think there has to be a transference of that burden on the Lord, because the mind is consumed with that I was hurt, I was cheated, and it's not going to help at all. And in fact, off the air, we can share my personal phone number. I'd love to talk to you personally on my phone, if possible.
And otherwise, folks can go to your website at bgleaders.org.
Yes.
bgleaders.org. Wish we had more time. We have run out of time here on the broadcast. And Dr. Les Olila is our guest here today. Again, if you'd like to obtain his two-part DVD on this issue of bitterness, call our switchboard at 800-729-9829. Thank you, Dr. Olila.
Thank you for...
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.